This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back again. We want to thank not only Jim Cantwell, who stayed for the second part of the show with the second guest, but also Mayor Joe Sullivan, who was here. Moving forward, joining us on the phone line is State Auditor Suzanne Bump, Auditor. Good evening.
How are you, Kevin?
Pretty good. I heard you had a wet afternoon. True or false?
Yes, and parts of me remained damp well into the evening.
and explain, for folks who don't know, I believe that you were assisting the second annual Ice Bucket Challenge, correct?
Yes. Governor Charlie Baker invited those of us in constitutional office, members of the legislature, and some of his own staff to join him on the front steps of the State House, where we dumped buckets of icy water on our heads in support of research to fight and cure ALS. It was great. It was a lot of fun. We were joined by the Frates family. Pete Frates, the founder of the challenge, was there to preside over it all, and we got sopping wet.
Who were some of the participants nearby you who might have gotten some of what you was dumped on you?
Well, so we actually dumped on ourselves.
Right, but I would think...
So the governor, Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito, mm-hmm. Treasurer Deborah Goldberg, and myself, Senate President Stan Rosenberg was there. There were a number of cabinet secretaries, the Secretary of Housing and Community Development, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary of Environmental and Energy Resources. So it was, and some local legislators. Who am I thinking of? I can't think of the gentleman from Bridgewater.
D'Amelia? Yeah.
D'Amelia. So he,
Andrew
I
D'Amelia?
Saw him there. Yep, he was there. I'm trying to think of any other local people, you know, within this, within the sound of my voice, so to speak. But I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head from the South Shore. But obviously, good fun for a good cause.
Well, thank you very much. You know, definitely thank you for your participation in it. And you know, it goes a long way. I mean, look at last year. You know, a movement like this, how much money it generated, and hopefully, it can be jump started again this summer.
Oh, yeah, millions and millions of dollars, far in excess of what they had ever anticipated. Do I remember maybe something on the order of $30 million? It became a not just a national craze, but an international cause. Mm. And let's hope that history repeats itself.
Definitely. Let's transition from talking about a good cause to talking about a bill that is in the House right now, House Bill number 6. And I guess this is something to kind of enhance some of the work that you're doing, kind of help provide some checks and balances from what I understand, especially if we're talking about stuff like tax credits. Give me the details of this bill and where it stands at the moment.
Well, thanks, Kevin. You know that you and I have had the opportunity on several occasions to talk about the work of the auditor's office. And the focal point of our work is accountability. We want to make sure that there's integrity in all of our programs, that people are following the rules, and that we're getting the most for our spending policies and our tax dollars. Well, there's another coin to the whole question, or rather another side to the coin of the question of government spending and government revenues, and that is our tax policy and the money that we forego through various tax credits, tax exemptions, tax incentives. And while there are 37 other auditors around the country who have the explicit authority to analyze what's going on with the tax code and with tax expenditures to make sure that they're all warranted, that the companies that are getting the benefits of some of these incentives are actually doing what they are supposed to do. Although 37 other states have the ability to do this, the Massachusetts state auditor does not. Mm. So I have filed legislation that would give me that ability to do the research and analysis of tax records to help determine whether our tax policies are being fairly implemented by the Department of Revenue, are being followed by the business community, and whether, in point of fact, they make sense. The idea is give the legislature some analysis so that they can make better long-term taxing or tax relief decisions for the businesses in the Commonwealth.
So how has this bill been met? Are you getting support?
Well, it is the second time that I filed the bill. I did in the last legislative session. It did not come out of committee. Of course, that's frankly fairly typical. Most bills don't pass the first time they get filed.
Right.
But I did, in fact, have opposition from business groups who think that this is a business-unfriendly measure. And that they're concerned that information about individual companies' tax returns would be made public. The bill, though, has strict measures in there that make clear that I can't do any disclosure of individual companies' returns, and there are criminal penalties, in fact, for us if we did. And as to the business unfriendliness of the proposal, as I say, 37 other states do this, and we're talking about some states that have a good reputation for being business friendly. So it's not regarded nationally as a negative thing. It's regarded as a positive thing.
Is it strictly just a blanket business thing, or do you have any particular industries that are feeling that they might be targeted by such a bill?
I don't have any in my sights, if you will, at all. This is just another means of ensuring accountability in government policy, from my point of view. And in fact, the businesses that tend to get represented by these organizations tend to be bigger businesses. They tend to be the chains or the big companies that are the members of Associated Industries of Massachusetts, for instance. It's interesting, when I talk to individual businessmen about this idea, no one has said, wow, that's not a good idea, Suzanne. Oh, I wouldn't want you to be able to do that. Every individual businessman with whom I have discussed this thinks it's a good idea. Mm. Because you face it, most small businesses, they don't get to take advantage of these, of many of the breaks that are there. They're there for the big companies. And they're looking for a level playing field themselves. We have a lot of independent businesses competing with chains. The chains get to take advantage of these various deductions because they're on a scale that qualifies them for them. And the little guys don't. In fact, the National Federation of Independent Businesses specifically did not oppose this legislation, and they represent the little guy, the small entrepreneur, the sole proprietor, the businesses with just a few employees. They did not share the concerns of the big companies with regard to this bill. So I'm pushing again this year. I got some support from me, what seemed like an unlikely corner. Charlie Chepo, who does a lot of work for the Pioneer Institute, which is clearly not a left-leaning think tank in this state, actually wrote in favor of my legislation in a national periodical. I was heartened to think that someone who comes from a business orientation but is focused on accountability and transparency in government was willing to put himself out there and get behind the bill. So I'm hoping that the legislature will have a little bit more time to think about it, and that we will get the same kind of accountability in our tax policy that I'm able to bring in our spending programs.
Well, Auditor, I will hope that if we find this gains any traction or any movement, that we can have you back in to talk further on this, because I see this as another tool in your toolbox to be able to do your job.
Thanks. Thanks so much. I appreciate the opportunity to make your listeners aware of it and to check in with you on what I think is a pretty important public policy matter.
If you could, while we have you for a couple of more moments, I want to take a moment to get you to kind of speak to an audit that you actually, a finding that you did in regards to Medicaid and what your findings were in regards to what you found with the program and the needless spending of nearly $500 million that was released in June. Could you talk about that for a few minutes?
Sure. That is one of our most recent audits of the MassHealth or Medicaid program. In this audit, we looked just at their managed care program. So within MassHealth, about half the folks who are enrolled in MassHealth are also enrolled in a half dozen different managed care organizations. And so the state Medicaid office gives the managed care organizations a set amount of money, and that's to cover all of the medical expenses of those enrollees. And what we found, however, was that although the managed care organizations were doing just what they were supposed to do, if a bill from a provider, from a hospital, from a doctor, a therapist, a dentist, if the bill for the services went not to the managed care organization, but went back to MassHealth itself, MassHealth was paying the bill. And so that means that they were paying twice. They were paying the managed care organization that was supposed to pay for these services, but then they were going ahead and they were paying themselves. So that's duplicate payment for services, and it was costing hundreds of millions of dollars. The administration has moved to fix some of the problems that caused this. They have poor claims administration, so that they weren't catching these bills to begin with and saying, "Well, this should be going to the managed care organization. We shouldn't be paying this." And then they needed to tighten up some of the contract provisions so that everybody understood. The managed care organizations, the providers, and MassHealth all had a common understanding of who was responsible for what, and they have to change some of their other procedures. They disagree with some of our findings. They think that it's not quite as much money as we had pinpointed, but whatever the amount is, it's essential that we take every opportunity to make sure that we're not spending money needlessly in the MassHealth program. It's the most expensive program in state government. It takes up a third of our $39 billion budget, and the costs within that program are rising at a higher rate than other parts of state government. So it's really important that we use our abilities in the auditor's office to make sure that that program is operating as effectively and efficiently as possible.
Again, we're speaking with State Auditor Suzanne Bump. And I guess probably the final question I'll ask you on this is your office can't force MassHealth to take any kind of action on it, but I would think that once you release something like this, it'll get the attention of the governor and other lawmakers, correct?
Yes, sir. They, as I said, they've already started, even before the audit was finished, they had started to make some of the changes, particularly around some of the dental services that they agreed right from the outset they were improperly paying, and they report that they are in the process of implementing other changes that we recommended in about 4 months. I think that we released the audit a month or two ago, so 6 months after audit release, we'll go back and check on their progress, and so just see to what extent they have implemented our changes. But I do think that the Secretary of Health and Human Services is a pretty smart gal, and appreciates the opportunities that are provided to her by our audit work, to cut down on some of the needless spending in that program.
Indeed. Anything you want to say in closing?
Well, I just want to remind everybody, particularly in the Brockton, Whitman, Bridgewater areas, that we have lost a wonderful public servant in the late Senator Tom Kennedy, and that there is an election, special election, that's going to be coming up this fall. And I know that people don't tend to pay attention to politics in the summer, but I really hope that they do so, because it's really important. It's an important race for the future of the South Shore. And I know that you're going to be working hard, Kevin, to make sure that voters are informed, and I just want to underscore that. Tom was a wonderful public servant and a good friend to me.
Well, I definitely appreciate you acknowledging that and sharing it. And if folks want to find out more about some of the work that you're doing in your office, how can they do that?
They can visit my website, which is www.mass.gov/auditor.
Auditor, thank you so much, and we'll definitely have to have you on back soon, maybe within the next couple of months. What do you think?
Terrific. You know, I love to do it.
And
thanks,
of course,
Kevin.
And I got to tell you, I got to hope that next time, because folks may or may don't know this, but I was trying to have a nice little double bill of having you and Elizabeth Warren, but unfortunately the senator was busy with stuff, so she couldn't make the second part of this segment. But maybe we'll try to do it down the road.
Well, that'd be great.
Awesome.
That'd be great. I think that both of us are really concerned about accountability, long-range planning in government, effective use of taxpayer dollars, and I just love her championing ordinary Americans.
All right, there she is, State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Kevin. Thanks.
You got it.